We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome into the SoRare Andrews podcast, brought to you by RotoWire and sponsored by SoRare. I am Andrew Laird from SoRare Data. You can find me as Lairdino on SoRare, joined as always by Andy Black, who you can find as Black on SoRare. Andy, you said we should talk about stacks this week. And I was like, why should we do that? And you were like, we should talk about stacks this week. And then I looked at some of the leaderboards of the week and it seems like a good time to talk about stacks.
Yeah, why not, right? Do I have any stacks?
This week, did you have any from this previous game week?
That worked?
Yes.
I think that's the most important question. Did it work? I don't think any of them worked.
Yeah.
I think I won, the cards that I won were all like non-stacky type teams.
I built a stack late in the week and then I don't even want to call it a stack. It was two guys from the same team. It was a defender and a midfielder. Like, it was probably just dumb. And then one didn't even start.
Maybe that's where we start this conversation. Let's define what a stack is.
There we go.
It's two players from the same team a stack.
I don't
defender
think so.
Defender plus goalkeeper. Is that a stack?
Yeah, I think defender plus goalkeeper should be considered a stack. And I'm just not sure how... I mean, I think if anybody sees more than one guy from the team, they're like, oh, here's another stack. And whether like it's a reasonable, like if it's goalkeeper forward, they're like, oh, there's another stack. And it's like, well, that one probably doesn't correlate at all, but it just happens to be two guys from the same team. But I don't know. Is two enough other than a goalkeeper defender?
I think it's got to be more than two.
Otherwise, they're just teammates?
Yeah. It's kind of my thought, but... I guess the real definition doesn't even matter that much. But I just feel like two together will never be something that they like try to like put a rule around. Like two players from the same team will always be allowed. There's never going to be a rule in place to stop that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not worried about that. The only thing that I would be like see them ever do is like if you just played five players from the same team, is that going to be something that they allow forever? I don't know.
So I have a lot to say about both of those topics. One, I'll say we talked about stacks like months ago when we had Sean Newsham on PSU Fans 2 on SoRare. And I think I hadn't really heard anybody talking about stacks before Sean did. And so I'll give him credit for at least making it more well known. I wasn't checking every lineup, but it just didn't seem like it was something that many people were considering.
I think the defender-goalkeeper combos.
That one, yes.
Which maybe that's the term we call those combos, was widely used for a long time. I know I've been doing the combo play for a long time, but maybe not three-player defensive plus goalkeeper stacks or full five-player stacks. It was not something I was really looking at.
Yeah, and to be honest, I wasn't really looking at it until I almost want to say I accidentally built one when I did the River Plate one months ago.
Ah, right.
And once I had three, I was like, I should just get all five. And it I think once they went to dynamic rewards, when they were going to open game weeks, even if there was only one licensed team playing, then I was like, awesome. Cause there were some like midweeks where they had, you know, Copa matches and River Plate was there. And I was like, hey, I got five starters here. Let's go. And I don't think any of them were ever successful, but I think there's just been a lot of people like speculating that they're going to have to do something about stacks. And it was actually something that Jimmer said months ago when he was on, when we were speculating about whether you, there was that talk that if you played D3, you couldn't play in what they were calling then the Academy. And
right
now we're calling the progress bar and we still have no idea what it is. But anyway, but Jimmer made this point that he was basically against limiting utility of cards, mm-hmm. and that you would have people who bought cards that they theoretically could have played in the Academy. And so where it was going to be like, no, you cannot use those cards because you're playing D3. And just the idea that the whole thing about these cards is their utility. And they're like, look at all these ways you can use it. And if you are going to tell people that they can buy whatever cards they want, but they're like, you know what? You can only play two of them at a time. I just don't see them doing it. And mostly because the whole point of these cards is the utility. Like we're not there. This, the value of our cards is not because we're all like really excited collectors. It's for the SO5 value. And if you start limiting use of cards, it gets ugly for everyone, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when, you know, like some people may just want to play because of fandom or they support a particular team or whatever. And it's like, oh, well, you can't play your five Liverpool players together because, you know, that's not allowed.
Right.
And I think that might, you know, be a downside or frustrating for someone that just is like, I only support Liverpool. I only want to play those five players together and that's all I want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think, yeah, I just don't feel like they can go.
That's why I said it. I figured you were out there, Mark.
But I think that's a great point, though, that there are people who come on the platform and they're like, I support this team. I'm going to buy five. I mean, I talked to somebody, I remember a few months ago when I had Tim Mealy, and he's like, I live in Kansas City. I'm a sporting Kansas City fan. You have the scarf right behind you. And he's like, yep. I play five-man Kansas SKC stacks because that's my team.
Yeah. And that's like, probably a really fun stack, to be honest. I mean, they had five players you could definitely play together. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And they got a wrestler at goalkeeper. So I don't know if you saw the highlight with Tim Amelia, but
it was a good takedown.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I just, yeah, fundamentally, I'm just limiting utility feels a bit strange to me. And I think this stack conversation has also changed a bit because when we had Sean on, the point of the stack was like, if you could get the five individual best players, that's what you should do.
Yeah.
But if you can't, and this applies to many more of us, then maybe you get a stack that isn't so expensive. And then one week when the other teams struggle and yours goes off, you win. And I think there started to be this idea that like, oh, I built this stack, so I should win every week because I'm stacking. Yeah. And it's like, well, it depends what team you're stacking. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, some of the people who could buy the best players were actually just buying stacks now. And that's what we saw this last weekend, I think. And to be honest, I didn't even look at the galleries of the people who had these Ajax and Morioka stacks, which I think was fine. But
yeah, so Challenger D3 was full Ajax stacks plus Morioka. So it was
four. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was either two forwards like Tadic and Haller plus a defender and their goalkeeper.
Yeah. It was, they all had Pasphere, Blind, Morioka, Tadic, and then yeah, it was the extra spot was different.
Yeah, one of them had Lissandro, one of them had I think Haller, and yeah, the other one had somebody else.
Bergheis, which must be nice to have.
Yeah, so our point is, Mark, that that's not really a stack. That, well, it is a stack.
It's a four-man stack.
I think a four-man stack is a stack.
Yeah.
I think that's fair to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a full team.
Right. And the best guy on the team in the lineup was not from Ajax.
Right. And then Challenger D4 basically was no stacking at all. the top three podium positions were first place was I don't know how to pronounce it, Verdadigan from
Vertonghen.
Benfica, and Odysseus, so Odiet, not even going to try. And then the second was Adan and Coates. Or
Coates.
Coates. We had fun with that one the other day.
Yeah, we did.
And then third place at Challenger D4 was no stack at all. So just five players from different teams. So, you know, it's not as if, you know, just play the Ajax stack and win. It's, you know, you still have to put it in the right spot. And
you still need a Morioka.
Yeah, and have him have Morioka in there with him. Captain.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Ajax ones in D3 were Morioka was captain on all of them, so he was the rare card. And so you have that kind of benefit in Challenger D4 that I'm assuming most people play Morioka rare in D3. Sorry. What do we call that now? Rare Pro?
Yeah.
Apologies if those new.
I'm not going to get that right for months.
It's going to take me a long time. Yeah, Mark, I think, was the first one to use this term spine. I apologize. Let me rephrase. I have no idea if he was the first one. He was the first one that I heard use the term spine instead of a stack. But
yeah, I like that term.
Yeah, makes sense. It's
so two players from the same team, is that a spine, or is three players from the same team a spine?
So this is where I was like wondering about where we go, because I made a Salzburg limited stack with it was goalie, center back, defensive midfielder. And I'm like, is that's a stack? And like, theoretically, if they play well defensively.
Three is a spine.
So three is a spine. So I have a Salzburg spine. But anyway, so I think that it people use stacks differently in terms of like, do you use it just to be competitive every week? And obviously, an Ajax stack is going to be competitive almost every week. Or do you do that ridiculous Chicago Fire stack that like when it goes off, you know, it's going to be cheap, but you get five players, you theoretically know they're all going to start. Like you tend not to get guys who are questionable starters to go into your stacks, and that gets you competitive like once every so often. But when you're competitive, like you're near the top.
Yeah. I think what you're getting at is kind of like what I define as the two types of stacks. You have elite stacks and then you have crappy stacks. And the elite stacks are interesting to me because typically it's like the best players. Like a Bayern stack is, you know, it's got to have like Goretzka and Kimmich and Lewandowski and goalkeeper Neuer and Davies or something like that. Yeah. It's like those players are extremely expensive, and to like do that stack, you could also just plug in some other super players like a Neymar or whoever. So like that stack to me only really works. I shouldn't say only really works, but it's going to be highly effective in games that they're dominant in, where they win 3-0, 4-0, whatever. And I guess that does happen decently regular with Bayern, but you could also just build a really good team for a lot of money if you're building that team.
Yeah, I feel like if you have a budget to make a Bayern stack, then you might be almost like capping your upside by not, instead of taking, well, you probably don't want to get rid of Lewandowski, but like maybe you need, instead of Goretzka, you take, now I'm like totally blanking on an elite champion Europe since I don't play it, midfielder, but whoever. But like maybe there are just better options. You know, maybe one week it's, you know, you need a better goalkeeper defender stack because Bayern happens to be playing Dortmund or something like that.
Right.
Or they probably smash Dortmund anyway. But I don't know. I just feel like I got very comfortable with the Shaqiri. I got very comfortable with the five-man stack because of my River Plate stack. But like I don't think if I, like right now, I'm not looking to build five-player stacks. And but I am looking at least to have two or three guys from the same team if I can get the right lineup.
Right. I built a stack that I call just a crap stack, and it's my West Ham stack. And I have a lot of nicknames for this West Ham stack that I won't repeat here on stream, but it was fairly cheap for a D2 champion Europe team. And then that's a division I'll never be competitive in. Like, well, I shouldn't say never, but Very unlikely to be competitive there in the near future.
Weren't you just competitive in it like a week ago?
What's that?
Weren't you like just competitive in it a week ago?
That's my point. With the West Ham stack, though, I can be competitive every once in a while. When they get a clean sheet and win 1-2-3-0, I have a chance at winning a card.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just bought the five best players that I could buy, they would probably never correlate, and I would never have a chance at a card. But now it's like if they get a clean sheet, and you know Bowen, and maybe Bowen whips a corner into Zuma's head or something, I can win a card that week. And I would say it's extremely unlikely for me to otherwise win a card in Champion Europe D2. So it's just a good way for me to be like have a team there. And honestly, it's easy for me because I can just follow the West Ham news. And if I know a player's not going to play or something, and like now I'm like really familiar with the team and I know Fabianski's not going to play in any of the Europa games. So it's like midweeks now, I know that I have to have another goalie in that lineup. And it's helpful to me just to be like kind of attached to a team and know their team news really well.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. I think that was one of the things we said is that like it makes your research a little easier because you don't need to search five different guys, or you know, you don't have to find five different news sources in five different languages because they're in five different countries. So you can just check out whatever the.
But then also, it makes my decision making pretty binary and simple. Every week, I don't really have a decision in Champion Europe. I just play the West Ham stack. Like this week, they're on the road. I forget who they're playing, but I don't think that it was a great matchup. It's like whatever. That's the team this week, and maybe they steal a game on the road. I don't know, but.
Do you think the expectation is that stacks should work every week?
Some people might have that expectation. I don't think that that's like where the anger is coming from. I think that the anger is more people just see, you know, those three IX stacks and Challenger D3, and they're like, shit, I can't win because that happens every week, and they feel like it happens every week, and it happens a lot. I'll agree with that. But I think that if you take those three same managers and you give them the same budget to build a great Challenger D3 team, they're going to have really, really competitive teams that probably win at similar frequencies.
So your crap stack, as Mark's going to point out, are fourth in the Premier League. They're ahead of Man United, Tottenham, Everton, yep. Leicester, Arsenal. That doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, I'm missing some of the key players on the team, though. Like, I don't have Declan. I don't have Antonio. So I those are their, like, two of their best players from an all-around and then a decisive standpoint.
Yeah.
So it's still a crap stack.
And that, I mean, you put yourself in a bit of a tough spot. You obviously had some of the cards already, but
yeah,
you're not getting any new West Ham cards. And so
right.
If somebody's here like, oh, I should build a stack.
Yeah, I mean, Zuma is a new West Ham card that I bought, but for special reasons, you know.
Yeah. Kurt Happy.
Yeah.
So I guess I think the other problem that we face this week with all like the Ajax podiums is that mm-hmm. there are like you can – I don't know if you're making stacks just to win podiums. Like obviously that – when Sean was on talking about the Chicago Fire stack, like he did that because it was in D1. Like he did that to win D1. But like you can win D1 on an off chance with a Chicago Fire stack. I don't know if he actually ended up winning D1 with it.
I think his Chicago Fire stack is a D2 stack.
Oh, is it D2? Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're all super rares.
Gotcha.
I think he has one unique.
Oh, that's right. The Madron.
Unique. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So it just seems like there's this idea that like I'm going to stack to. So the one week I can get a podium, but like you can win a lot of cards every week without coming close to the podium.
Yeah.
I mean, you can win one card every week, or, you know, you can win more cards than just podium. And I feel like when we see stacks win podiums, everyone's like, oh, I guess I got a stack. And it's like, you're ignoring the last 12 weeks when it didn't work. And
yeah, but let's be real. The IX stack works a lot.
Yeah.
99% of the time it works all the time. Something
that's
like
that. Fair. That one's a tough one.
And the Bayern stack hits pretty hard too. But again, those are the two like most expensive things. Like they're expensive stacks.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, that's fair. They are. It is funny when you're like, oh, well, I'll just buy the best players. And then they're all happen to be on the same team, or at least the best scorers.
Yeah.
The benefit with Bayern and Ajax, obviously, is that they have significant midweek utility too, with how good they are. So that they have Champions League also, but.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any, you have Kimmich and Goretzka, right?
Yeah.
And Davies.
Yeah. Goretzka has been tough, man, because he had a cold, and I just kept thinking, I was like, oh, it's just a cold. He's going to play. And he killed a couple lineups for me the last, I guess, two game weeks. Yeah.
You know what's not a thing anymore?
What's that?
Just a cold.
Yeah. Right. I guess that's probably the case, because I think didn't the coach have COVID or something? So they're probably being super careful about, you know, putting him into the team or whatever. But still, that's frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. So let's see. What does Sam say? I think the issue you're trying to talk about is basically, one, are stacks a game design problem? And two, should something be done about them? He thinks they are a problem, or he thinks they are a design problem.
It's hard to say whether they should do anything about them, because I think that the only way you can do something about them is if you're like very, very decisive about it. Like, you'd have to say you can't allow more than what, three players from the same team or something, which is pretty big change. Like, you have to allow two players from the same team, right? There's like nothing, like there's no way you can say, oh, you can't have two players from the same team. Should you be able to have three?
You should be able to have five, man.
There's no, like, if you can have three, then you're like there. Like, that's most of the team anyways.
I think the problem is that a lot of people compare it to FPL, and I know a lot of people in the States compare it to DraftKings and FanDuel because they have roster limits. Like, you can only have a certain number of guys, but they also play a lot more. Like, you play, you can't have more than three guys from the same team in FPL, but you have 15 players.
Right.
Like, we have five. So, like, I just don't see how you can justify limiting players that you can have in your lineup.
Yeah, I'm sure Mark makes a good point. The game slogan is own your game. They need to change that. And, Mark, I imagine you would not be very happy if they limited the number of Liverpool players that you could shove into a lineup.
Yeah. Hashtag own most of your game.
Yeah.
And then play the other ones in another lineup. That's a long hashtag, though. Yeah, I don't. See, the other thing is that, like, if I had to split it, then I'm still just keeping, like, if it was max three and I have a five-man stack, like, I'm just going to play three in one and two in the other. I'm not going to play them in all five different lineups.
Right.
There aren't enough choices for that, too. Like,
yeah. So do you play any offensive stacks?
I do.
If you do, do you feel like they're effective?
I think one of the big misconceptions in attacking stacks is everyone's like, oh, well, this guy's going to assist the other guy.
Yeah.
And that happens so less frequently than people think. Like, I remember last year, Harry Kane and Son Heung-min were, it felt like they were doing it every week. And I think they ended up at like 9, which I think was a Premier League record. Maybe the number was 10, somewhere around there. Like, it just doesn't happen that much. It really doesn't. And so, like, past seasons, like, the league leaders would have like four. And so I know a lot of people talk about this Noah Lang, De Ketelaere combo. And it's like, they just happen. If they get decisives, it's because they both scored or one had an assist to somebody else. Like, they just don't link up that much.
Yeah. Me and you looked at that together one week because I was talking about looking at CDK, and we looked at the combos on So Rare Data, and it wasn't really there. Like, the correlation was just meh. Like,
do you know where they do?
You know.
You know where they do correlate a lot, though.
What's that?
With Ajax, they're just all over.
Because they're always smashing.
Yeah, there's always some sort of Tadic to Hilaire or Berghuis to Tadic. You know, but it's never Gravenberch. He's just completely non-existent on that team. Yeah, but. Yeah,
I feel like certain teams, it does work. Like, Ajax is a good example. I feel like New England, there's a lot of offensive correlation there, like between Boo and Gill and Buxa.
I'll, without looking at it, agree with you that it does seem like the three of them are always on each other's goals. But I think I think that just the way that we have become to think of like, oh, they both got a decisive in the same game, and so they must correlate well. Like if they just both happen to score or get an assist, you know, if they both get on the score sheet and they have nothing to do with each other, like that's fine. Like I'm not saying you shouldn't combine them either. It's like, well, it's just two elite players. They just happen to be playing on the same team. But like, I don't think anybody should be building attacking stacks thinking like this guy's going to assist the other one every week. Like it just doesn't happen enough to make that worth it.
Yeah.
But I try it. I'm trying to think of who I did it with. PSV maybe. I didn't even really do it to PSV. Like I have a limited PSV stack with Gakpo. It's Gakpo, Sangare, and Biscotti. But like, they just happen to play for the same team.
Ken Jong, I'm not really sure what you're saying. Limit game mode and limit entries, else Wales will just dominate again. Dude, Wales are already dominating.
Yeah, there's no again.
Wales will dominate. That's just the name of the game. And yeah. I think as smaller galleries, you have to figure out a way to like kind of like go against the grain or go against the curve and try to maybe outsmart them every once in a while or run that weird stack that does hit hard every once in a while and pops off and steals a card. You know, that Chicago Fire stack that makes it onto the podium 1 week.
Yeah, I just feel like if they made that change, like in terms of limiting the number of players, it's because they got enough feedback of like, this isn't fair. Whereas like, it's actually just, I'm upset. I don't have it. And I don't think you should change rules for that reason. Yeah. That sounds really harsh now that I say that out loud, but mm-hmm. That's actually what I think.
Sam actually made a really good point. And this kind of was kind of one of the topics that we were going to talk about is the schedule exclusivity. Like a lot of the stacks, like that is kind of the sexy part about the stack is they always play together. They're on the same team. They always play together. So there's little time frames where maybe the Brazilian league is only playing it one time and there's no other Champion America teams. Well, if you have the top team in that division, then you're going to be looking pretty good that game week. And there were game weeks in the past couple months where Mineiro was like one of like two or three teams playing. Like Boca might have been playing or River might have been playing, but Mineiro just was crushing at the time. And it was just basically if you had five Mineiro players, you were you know, winning cards those weeks.
I remember it had to have been a River Plate stack because it was like a midweek. And I think I might have been first. And I was like, so like pumped up and like, oh, who still has to play? And it's like, oh, Mineiro. And I finished like 17th.
Yeah.
they crush. But yeah, so Mark brings up this interesting point about the possibility that they, I guess it's not really expanding to regions, expand to leagues, but it's really what is the opposite of expand? It's not decrease. Deflate? I don't know. Whatever. But if we have league-specific competitions. What's that?
Segregate, I guess.
I guess.
Like separate like Champion Europe into like La Liga, Bundesliga, yeah. EPL. Like really segregate the leagues apart from each other.
Right. And then should you be allowed to stack Real Madrid?
Sure. I guess. I mean, own your game, right?
We should have had someone on that greatly disagreed with us.
Yeah, we should have.
But ultimately, I just think that the argument just ends up being it's not fair because then the people who can buy the best cards win. And it's like, well, that's the case now. If we disallow stacks, this is not going to make people with bigger budgets be like, oh, I'll just buy crappy cards now.
Right. Like well, and two, like in the Eredivisie, like who are the five best cards to own? And I'm sure what, like three of those five are probably all on Ajax, right?
I'm
pulling your tools up over there, I see.
I am, only because I thought I looked this up the other day and, oh no, it was in the Bundesliga. It wasn't all of, but yeah, so the top players in Challenger Europe. So that's the worst part. It's not even just the...
Right.
It's like all of Challenger. But Ajax is 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, 10. So it's then like we should
players in the top 10 or something?
that's those were the places that they are. Yeah. So the guys who are in the top 10 who are not Ajax are Morioka, who's second, Gakpo, who's seventh, Szymanski, who is eighth, and that's it. Everyone else is Ajax.
Wild.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So what I also noticed during these Ajax stacks is I think fourth place in Challenger D3 was also an Ajax stack.
I think so.
And every single one of them would have won All-Star D3. And I don't know. Why wouldn't you just play that? Like, it feels like you're playing an Ajax stack in Challenger to win other Ajax cards.
Yeah.
Which you won't play.
It would be fun to go like look at the rewards of those guys and like see, you know, they if they would have won All-Star D3 instead, what would they have won?
Oh, yeah, I like that. Well, that's easy to find out, too.
It's not that hard, right?
So let's see who they actually won, though. So it was Challenger D3.
Yeah.
So first, second, and third. Oh, with the challenge. So also Challenger D3 this week. Prizes were absurd. The top eight were under 23s. So the top three were Vandevort, Bijlow, Noah Lang.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure you're getting any better.
That's like three. Each card, each one of those cards is worth roughly one ETH, I would say, right?
Yes.
Good ballpark.
Yes. So All-Star D3 was Mbappe, Memphis, and Oblak.
Okay, and all of those cards are worth, well, Mbappe is worth well over one ETH. Probably, what, like five plus? Five-ish?
Yeah.
And then who's second? Who's the second one there?
Memphis.
Memphis, what, like 1.6 to 2.5.
One and a half at least, yeah.
Yeah, close to two maybe. And then the last one was who?
Oblak.
Okay. Worth probably one, what, two? Two ETH maybe? I don't know.
Mignan was fourth. Oof. I'd be pissed about that.
Yeah, that'd be a tough one. But still, it's like, I get why he's still there. It just hasn't made it, got washed out yet. But
yeah. Vandevort fifth. So, yeah. No Ajax, guys.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I don't know. With that said, if you have an Ajax stack, please keep playing it in Challenger.
Yeah.
I have no interest in competing in All-Star against that. So I bought two Utrecht super rares to compete in D3 and now, or sorry, in Rare Pro, and it doesn't feel so good right now.
Yeah.
It's probably because I don't have Morioka. That's why. Not the Ajax guys.
It just seems like if you can, and I'm sure looking at those galleries, there's probably situations where they're probably running elite Challenger D3 squads and elite All-Star D3 teams. But it's like, if you can win Mbappe in a division And soon, if you can win Highland in a division, it's like you got to put your best lineups in just those divisions. Because, like, I don't know, the differential on winning like one of those guys is so, so big. I saw Hendo on the Mbappe this week. And U23, D3, pretty awesome.
That's fun. I'd like to win that.
So Sam was saying, I keep saying it wouldn't be fair to make changes. It's actually the opposite. I feel like we're saying we're making changes because people think this isn't fair. And I think it's perfectly fine to make changes to make the game better, but I'm not sure this makes it better. I think we're just changing it because people think it's not fair.
Yeah, changing it because there's some loud people that are upset about it.
I'm sure there are quiet people who are upset about it. I just don't think... I don't think it's a solution. Like, if they're like, okay, sorry, you can't play Tadic. It's like, okay, well then I'll just play, I don't even know. I'll play Gakpo.
Yeah.
Because like, they obviously have the budget for both. So what's the difference?
Yeah.
Like, does it make it any better or worse? Now we're all worse. And now the guys who want to
I guess there's less correlation, but it's two elite players that score well every week. It's like, does it matter? I don't know.
That's what I mean. If you're Bayern, do you play your, you know, Lewandowski, Kimmich, Goretzka, and then you take Alisson and TAA?
Right.
Does that make you feel better? Like, that doesn't feel fair.
Right.
I'm sure Marcus will put that lineup out at some point.
Yeah, that is totally unfair. We should not allow that. We should not allow that. I think Mark over there probably has some lineups quite like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm sure Mark's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Limited if you want. Yes, I'll destroy you guys.
Yeah. But that, I mean, so Mark, oh man. Mark has payouts have been good of late. The fear is why would you use a stack in All-Star where you could end up with an MLS or an Asia card, which, I've been doing that lately. I have been entering my better MLS lineups in All-Star because I'm like, oh, I want to win non-MLS cards. I just win MLS cards in All-Star.
I saw that. But at least you have the chance of not winning an MLS card, right?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
That helps, I guess.
I guess. That's the hope that kills you.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard right now. Like, I don't really want to try to win MLS cards right now because I will take cards, but like I'm not prioritizing my best lineups in Champion America because I don't know, the price of those Champion America cards is slightly depressed right now with those seasons coming to an end. It's like, I'd rather win the cards that are worth more right now. That's not to say that like Champion America cards are, you know, not going to be worth a lot of money here in about, I don't know, 4 months. When those seasons start firing back up and all these new users want to play in the summer and spring months. But if I could win a card right now, I'd rather win the card that is worth more money.
Yeah. I mean, it's ultimately a bummer of the, here's a card that has three games left and the prices are at all time lows because they have three games left.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they should like remove them from the pools. Just remove them from my line of whenever I have a reward. That's all. Simple request.
Ken mentioned an XP penalty for stacking. And I saw somebody else mentioning something similar. With, I forget the exact specifics, but basically like a slight penalty for every, I guess, stacked player. And it's an idea, sure. Like, I'm not a fan of any penalties or preventions, like preventing it being done. But, you know, if that's something that they decided to do at some point, you know, we just play around the rule, I guess. And then you're strategically figuring out, you know, does it still make sense to play Tadic and Haller together or whoever? It's like, still got to do the math, I guess.
I'll just go buy Noah Lang. Oh, well.
Yeah, play Noah Lang and Tadic together.
I can't afford that, but. No, I think the one negative about that is that it makes the game more complicated. And you guys had that whatever that previous iteration was. That was before my time of Power, whatever you guys called it. And it sounds so complicated. And the fact that like people were trading for cards with less XP, like, I think that's just the road we go down of like, yeah, the idea is to make this game. This is a very complicated game, but it's very easy to play. Like, you need five players. They'll get a score at the end.
I love the idea that Mark has, to an extent. I don't know about, I like that if you have five that no one else has, you get a bonus, but like, I would like some kind of like, court, like chemistry bonus almost like that they have in FIFA, but you don't want to make the stacks more powerful. So you need to figure out some way of like having, you know, like players with Coombs in their name. If you have them all together in one lineup, then you get like some massive bonus. Thoughts?
No. I think we're going to get to the point, actually, and this is a big thing with DFS, not as much with soccer because it's not as big, at least in the States. I can't speak to fan team because a lot of people play that in Europe, but we didn't have it. I guess it's just open now. But one of the huge things about like large field tournaments in DFS is uniqueness. Like, you're better off trying to build lineups that are unique more than lineups that have the highest median score. And so I think certainly with limited stacks, I think we're going to get to that point where it's like, oh yeah, let me just run out a Mignero stack. And like, I have a Mignero stack. I was sick of losing to Mignero stacks all the time. So when limited cards came out, I was like, I'm going to get a Mignero stack. But at some point, like, if you're just losing, you know, if you do that late, you're losing the XP battle. And now it's actually, you want a unique lineup. And so maybe people move away from stacks just because if everybody's doing that, then maybe that's not the way you should go to be different.
I think the white paper, the So Rare white paper had what Mark's talking about, a popularity curse. And basically it's if everybody plays the player, like if 100% of people that own Vanaken play Vanaken, you just get 100% of his score. But if, you know, he mentioned Steph Peters, if only 50% of the owners play him that week, then his score gets like some kind of significant bonus to it. I think it's an interesting idea, fun idea, but then you have the players that have like really low like mints. Like, you might have like a player that's like, you have the only card of him. Like the one I'm thinking of is Quinny owns the card, Sorloth. I think there's only like three of them. So like, if they all get used, then, you know, like, I don't know. I just think it might harm particular players, but maybe that doesn't really matter. I think it's a cool idea. You'd have to play around with how you're implementing it.
Do you think the solution to five-man stacks is SO11?
Could be. I think one of our questions was kind of like angling towards that. I love more game modes, so I think that if they wanted to do another game mode where it was SO11 and that limited, like, maybe it had some of the similar rules to FPL where it can only be, I don't know how many players from the same team, four or three, something like that. Yeah, that could work. That'd be fun.
I had, speaking of SO11, my Sora Data League team this past week had three DNPs in it. Three defensive DNPs. So I actually ended up with zeros. That just popped into my head when we talked about SO11. Wow. So yeah, I feel like popularity bonus is a fun idea, but it also just makes it more complicated. And you also like have no idea, like, you're guessing how many people are playing, and we have that like information, how, like, where people have been playing.
Right.
Like, all of that's in the Sora Data lineup builder, but like you're basically making lineups without knowing what your bonus would be.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that, like, that's a big unknown.
Yeah. I do like the idea of like the beauty of So Rare is just the simplicity. It's like, get five guys, put them in a lineup, win cards.
I mean, it's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
You're five cards.
I mean,
our scoring matrix is all of this.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that. Just score the most points.
And there are some weird things, like nuances, like where pro is like up to two super rares, and then V2 has different rules. Like, I would like for those rules to get more like standardized for new users. I think it makes sense. And just to like make the whole game more like approachable would be if it were just all those rules. Like maybe we'll have a pro version of every scarcity and like the same rules apply to each one.
It's funny you say that because I keep doing this with limited cards. I'll like win one of a guy that I have a rare card, like one of his teammates. And I'm like, oh, I can stack. And I'm like, nope, I can't do that yet.
Right.
I need that limited pro.
We talked about that. I think last night Jimmer did a stream. We talked about the scarcities and the way the divisions are set up right now. And I think there was some concern that like, they were like so rare, like this new UI change was like so rare getting ready for the change to where it's just scarcity based divisions, where it's just rare division, just a super rare division. But I think that we all kind of like agreed ish, me, you, Jimmer, and somebody else, that we think that they're going to do scarcity based divisions and then a pro division in each one, maybe. So like a super rare pro division and just a regular super rare division.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of, I guess you kind of agree with that, or you think that that might be where they're going?
Yeah, no, I think it's obvious that at some point they're doing single scarcity divisions, but I don't think that's all they're doing. Like people were getting like very upset about that, understandably. Like I'd be pretty pissed about that.
Yeah.
But I think this pro model that they have is just, it's too easy to not to just use it everywhere. I think the one place where it might be a problem is whatever we super rare, no. Yeah, the super rare division, because right now you can use uniques and rares, which feels like a little weird that you can do three scarcities in one. And that's the only division, right? That you can use three?
Yeah.
So maybe they take out the ability to use a rare there because we already still, you know, this the rare pro.
Which I think actually would make a lot of sense. I mean, my God, rare cards have so much utility right now. If they got pulled out of D2, I don't know that it would be that big of a deal.
It's funny that we are talking about this now as Nellis joins the chat, because I was listening to his podcast today and he was talking about how angry he'd get if they went to single scarcity.
Yeah.
Mark Laley. Mark was saying that he would be furious. And yeah, I would be too. Mostly because I can't.
I think that they are, but it's going to be a big but. It's going to be, but they're going to have pro versions in each scarcity. So I guess they can do that with casual too, right? So there'll be like a casual pro. That would be a funny terminology, casual pro.
Casual bro.
Just change. But where like it was commons plus a couple limiteds or something.
Oh, commons and limiteds, right.
Yeah, and then the limited pro would be like three limiteds and two rares.
Yeah.
And then
it's the same. Yeah.
Yeah. And then just like work that all the way up to unique. So the super rare pro would be three super rares and two uniques.
Or you could even use the term you progress up to them.
Right. Right. Maybe. We'll see.
That makes too much sense.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, it feels obvious that that's where they go, because single scarcity absolutely kills progression unless you have these in-between pro things that I really hope they change the name to.
Yeah. Like you don't just, like pro, don't do you?
I really don't.
It doesn't bother me as much as it bothers you. I understand why you dislike it, because it's, I don't know, but
I had this thought the other day, and now a second ago, this just came into my head. That maybe I have completely misunderstood pro in my thought that it actually meant professional. Actually means progression.
Huh. You just blew my mind, Laird.
Mine feels a little blown too. Maybe I don't hate it as much.
Maybe they should just spell that out for us. Us simpletons over here. Please. Maybe everybody else has realized this, and it's just me and you sitting here like, oh, professional. It's the pro version.
Pro. It's the pro version.
Man.
Yeah. Progression.
Man.
Rare.
How did I not think of that?
I wish anybody else. I mean, I've been pretty vocal about how dumb I think calling something pro is, because this idea that professional is whatever. And nobody called me and was like, hey, it's actually progression. Or progress, or whatever the pro.
Yeah. I love it.
Do you, are we giving SoRare too much credit? Is it still actually professional?
I don't know. I hope Dan is watching or Carl's watching and they're like, ooh, yeah, that's what we meant.
That's what we meant. Yeah. I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt, and that's what they meant right. The whole time.
Yeah, that's funny. Then the casual pro would make sense. It's like the casual progression. It totally makes sense.
Yeah, I love that they called it pro.
Yeah, I do too. That has a good ring to it.
Very sharp. Yeah, I love that.
I don't see anybody in comments like saying that they realize this either. So I think we might.
No, their heads exploded. Everybody's gone.
Right.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't even know what else to say now. You just like totally blew my mind.
Yeah. Everything's better now. Let's get back to our stacks.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's really what I want to do. I want to build limited rare stacks. Five players, but just
they already got rid of D3, Sam. D3's gone.
It is gone.
It's pro. Professional.
Professional rare.
Yeah. Professional rare division. Man.
If they do that by massively increasing D2 rewards to give more utility to mid-tier super rares, that could be okay. I think the biggest that was a terrible way to start, because it's definitely not the biggest problem they have. But I think a big problem is these tier three super rares that really are just completely worthless. Like,
they would be better. They would have more utility if D3 required you to have one to two super rares. Because then you couldn't just like keep buying rares forever and just buy better and better and better ones and eventually just lump them into your D3s. Like, I feel like to make those have more utility, they should require them in that lineup instead of making them optional. I do realize that, that would probably prevent people from playing in those divisions and actually would probably make the price, like the cost of those tier three super rares go up, it would make some people happy because now their tier three super rares are worth more money, but then it would, you know, put more of a block and prevent people from getting into that division. But I don't know.
I've given up trying to compete in D3 without super rares.
Yeah.
Like, I'll throw lineups in, but like, I don't think ultimately, like, I'm going to come to a strategy where I'm like, oh no, I'm going to just buy five really great rares and play them in D3. But I feel like the special weekly was like they tricked us. They're like, we're going to give out super rares in the special weekly. And we're like, oh, that's so cool. And then you get them and you're like, what do I do with this? This guy doesn't play. I'd rather some limiteds, please.
I have just run really good, I guess, because I've won like tier three super rares like a lot this like last, like, I don't know, 2 to 3 months. And they've all been like, because I usually like in the D2s and stuff, I don't really like compete for the podiums, but I'll like squeak in and steal cards. So I get a lot of the tier three super rares as prizes. And most of them have been like pretty useful cards for me. Granted, I'm not like if I were Surface, I wouldn't be saying the same thing. Surface winning a tier three super rare would be like, eh. And I'm sure YNWA, Mark, you would feel the same way. Like tier three super rares right now are just like, eh. Like, it's a card you'll probably never put into a lineup. And you're probably just going to sell it or maybe sit on it and hope that they become better or whatever. But like to me, I can take those cards and like immediately, if they're decent, I can put them into lineups.
I would say you just ran good on your T3s.
Yeah, probably. I've seen some of the ones that other people have pulled out and it's just like, eh, okay. I get why you're frustrated with that one. Cause it's like guys never, like he only subs on and scores 25 points a week. Probably not going to use them.
Yeah, I can't even sell them. I mean, I don't have that many of them, but like,
even the ones that I've won and I'm using aren't cards that are, like, can sell for like very much money. Like Sean Nealis is a good example. Mm-hmm. He's 24. His last sale was like 0.1. But I mean, like, if you look at his scores the last like 4 weeks, 54, 66, 42, 79 last week. So like, I mean, whatever. Using him, he's a decent defender. For me, that's not bad.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Special Weekly is really the only place I'm like sometimes competing for super rares anyway, because I don't play the super rare division often.
So do you think that the progression divisions, because that's what I'm going to call them now.
Oh, we'll have super rare, like next level.
Do you think that they'll start awarding super rares there? And then do you think in the super rare progression division that they'll start rewarding uniques there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
And even like they'll probably be what, like tier two for like the winner and like a tier three for like other people, maybe? I don't know.
Why not like a star?
A star unique?
Yeah, I guess never. That would make sense if you couldn't. Yeah, no, never mind.
Like even a tier one, I don't think that they'll reward because those are going to sell for a ton of money.
Yeah, you should.
That's where they're making a lot of scratch.
Yeah, you shouldn't be able to win a star unique.
But tier two, I mean, why not? Tier three, for sure. Yeah,
the only reason why I said that is because I really dislike when the top prize is not like the best card of what you can win in that division.
Yeah.
Like it's not a problem that I have, but people have been saying how like they've had tier ones as the top prizes in D2. And it's like that we should be competing for the best cards. I know you can't like give them all out every week, but I don't know. It just fundamentally feels weird when you're like, I finished first place ahead of everyone else. And they're like, we have a group of 32 cards that you cannot win because they're too good for you, even though you beat everybody.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
So Mark, you want a progression bar is what it sounds like. Would be better for the highest value prizes to be won after a period of good performances as opposed to just one game week. I think that that's probably like more of like ingrained in like that FPL mindset. And then I would say that like the DFS mindset is more like, hey, I did good this week. I should get something awesome, you know?
Not even this so week.
Definitely two competing forces there and two different, you know, schools of thought. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't want to win ETH to go buy tier three super rares. I agree, Mark. I don't know. I don't know what the solution is. I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, just give out more ETH. I'm like,
Right. Yes. And there's also like, you know, like a number of cards issue too, that the calculations on, you know, the number of super rares that are even available for prizes and stuff. Yeah. So it's also not just like give away more cards because that's could be a problem too. So fun challenge for those people. So rare people.
I think what I was mostly upset about with the tier threes in the special weekly was just like, as soon as we saw the cards that were getting distributed and they were like, oh, this is how they're getting rid of their tier three super rares. Like they're just going to give them away, but it's like, these are cards that nobody was really going to buy anyway.
Right. So, love the last point from Masaki there. A smaller user is going to have a way smaller chance of competing over multiple weeks. In the current system, they can beat everyone with one good week and it's much easier, which totally agree with that. Like my West Ham stack is not going to beat Mark over the course of the season. Like it's just not going to happen. But on like one given week, you know, stars align, Jared Bowen bangs in two goals and Fabianski gets the clean sheet. Hey, I'm winning.
We're cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. There we go. Mark concedes.
Yeah. Back to like stacks for 1 second.
Yeah.
U23 stacks. Do you do it? Is it possible? What teams can you even do it with?
I think Salzburg.
Salzburg. Can you do it with Feyenoord? Is it Feyenoord?
Feyenoord.
PSV maybe?
PSV you can't because their goalie's 24.
Who does Bijlo play for?
He's at Feyenoord.
Okay, I think a lot of people use him with one of the defenders.
Him and Malacia, yeah.
There you go.
Yep. I have that.
Yeah, so that's a good, maybe not stack, but a good combo.
You can do it at Genk.
Genk, that's right. Of, yeah. That's right.
And definitely Salzburg. Salzburg can do a full team.
Yeah. Okay. But do you want to do that?
And you can do, I have it in limited. You can do Kashima also for now. But Makita's gone after a meeting. He's no longer 23. Well, he's actually 24 right now, but we'll only care about that until after July 1st. Oh, yeah, Sinisterra. Yeah, they have a lot. You're right, Feyenoord. 4 or 5.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if you have a U23 goalie and that team has a U23 defender, it makes sense to go there. That's all.
Bob says Genk is bad. All people should play that.
Yeah, there are a lot of people who want a lot of Genk.
Because I don't know any of them.
I don't have any. Well, so, yeah, we do. We both have the same guy. He just doesn't play.
Which one?
Ugbo.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Our boy Ike, man.
Which is mind-blowing that they don't use him, but whatever.
They got to wait to sell Big Paul to West Ham in January.
That ain't
happening. You'll have to buy Big Paul then.
Nope, ain't happening. We'll not buy him. Never going to happen. Big Paul will not be in my gallery.
Oh, come on. Quinny dropping the Atlanta is great for U23 when they have 65-year-old goalie. But
for right now, they are.
Yeah.
And yeah, you'd have to, you know, make do with not using Guzan.
Yeah, let's touch on this last point that Mark just brought up. He said we wouldn't be debating half of this stuff if there were parallel collector incentives to work on, adding a collector-based section to the game that allows you to win cards without having to play SO5. So I have this weird reaction because Top Shot did that Top Shot did it at some point. I never got into Top Shot, so I don't want to say something that is completely wrong. But one of the things that I liked about So Rare was that I was buying cards to play in SO5, and if I hit the nuts and got 5 guys that were really good and never got hurt and all and played all the time, I could just buy those 5 cards and win forever. And this idea of like buy more stuff to win stuff just never sat right with me. And I think it may have been fine had I not gotten to So Rare first. But yeah, this idea of like collect 25 cards of Jersey mints and we'll give you a tier 3 super rare. Like, I'm not sure
I don't know that that sounds awful. The big issue in Top Shot was there was a lot of funny business going on with like some of the challenges. And I'm speaking ignorantly slightly, but I do remember reading a few things on this where like some of their challenges were like artificially propping up the values of certain players. And there were people, quote unquote, in the know. And they knew which players might be part of a future challenge.
Oh, okay.
And they were acquiring those players, stockpiling those players. And then once they were part of that challenge, obviously the card or the moment was worth a lot more money.
Yeah.
And they were able to, you know, profit off of that. So I think that a lot of like, if it were, they'd have to be really careful about the way that they instituted some of those things. Although I think like some of that stuff could make sense. Like if you own 10, it'd be hard to retroactively do that because it would like really benefit certain people. Cough, cough, YNWA. like if you had the number 1 out of 100s, like if you have 10 of those, you win a you know, exclusive card or something like that. Could get a little, you definitely rile up the masses. But I think that there are some things that they could look at there that might be intriguing.
Now, just make the community feel better, and that if you have 5 or 10 Liverpool cards and you win an Everton one, and see what happens. Isn't that what we wanted? No? You didn't want that Jordan Pickford super rare? No? Oh, well. No, I think, yeah, I don't know. I just, and it's only because I don't have, I just have never played an NFT game that relied on me buying like specific things as opposed to just like getting better scores, I guess is the way I put it. I don't know.
Yeah. Experiences would be cool. Like if you, or even like little things, like if you like I think that they announced that like Vanaken and somebody else was an ambassador of the game or something, like
Vandevoort.
What if you collected like their certain cards or like all like their full team or something like that, then maybe you get like an autograph on your card or something. I don't know, something to like, a little something to think about. An attachment. I think I would call that like an attachment to the card.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. Yeah.
Mark will get that joke.
Jordan Pickford, Super Bowl with normal length arms. Love that. Great line. Maybe the two thumbs to show it.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, see? Collect all the cards with guys with thumbs. I'm into that. I'll do that. Guys holding a ball. If they take that out, if they release that, then I'll be okay with it. But yeah, he's right, though. They do have to like leverage more with these relationships with the clubs, because I think people are going to be more excited to win a digital autograph than a tier 3 super rare.
Yeah. Or if there was a way to like obtain the autograph somehow, like I don't even know, like win first place with Vandevoort as your goalie, you know, like then the card gets autographed or something. I don't know, just like throwing ideas out there. But I think that there are, like, if there were ways to like accomplish that, it would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or like commemorate you winning. Like, I'm sure Hendo would, like, Hendo won that Mbappe this week, won U23 D3. Like, it'd be cool if there was something to like just like commemorate you winning a podium like that. For us guys that don't win podiums every
year. The 20 ETH card's not enough to commemorate that.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. We should have Nellis on back on, because he has like a long list of experiences that he thinks that's so rare.
Yeah. I'm going to call Nellis out real quick on that. Like a 10-minute Zoom call with, and you just mentioned it, Sam, a 10-minute Zoom call with Vandevoort. What the hell am I going to talk to him about?
No, he says with Messi, which is even better. Like, I just like, what would you thought?
Hi. Hey man, how you doing? I don't know. See, you scored another goal this weekend. Like, sure, it'd be cool and all, I guess. For me, I would just get my kids on and let them talk to him and ask him questions or whatever. But, like, what's your favorite move and stuff like that? But, man, like, anybody else, like, it'd be, like, give me a conversation with Vanaken, and I don't know what we're going to talk about, man.
In fairness, I think John can probably talk to anybody, so I bet he would be very into a 10-minute messy Zoom call, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We've gone a little over an hour here. Now we're getting into a whole new topic. So I think it's time to cut us off. Thank you to everybody in chat who has participated. It's pretty lively. So thank you for all of your comments. If you guys wouldn't mind hitting the like button below, it's always appreciated. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, just do that, because we'll be back next week with a brand new topic. So definitely check that out, or please do that. If you are listening to the audio version, if you could please rate and review it wherever you listen. Once again, this is the So Rare Andrews podcast, brought to you by RotoWire and sponsored by So Rare. If there are any topics you'd like us to discuss, definitely hit us up either in the So Rare Discord or on Twitter. I am at Andrew M. Laird. Andy is at ablack86. And find us there. Andy, thanks for that. And I'll talk to you next week.
Yep. See you.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.